Dr. Luke was charged by the Spirit of God, and he wrote to the man called Theophilus to say, listen, this is an exact recording of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did and said on his time on earth. It is accurate eyewitness account. And it's something that the church still needs to hear and respond to today, because so much of the writings in Luke, as it is the whole of the Word of God, it teaches us how we should live a life in the light of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of who he is and who we are now in him. We are sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. But we're also saints. We've been made saints because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been imputed to us. And you are part of the royal family, your majesties, because we belong to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. A week tomorrow, on the 15th of April, will be one of the oldest and possibly the most famous marathons will be run. It's the 128th Boston Marathon. Sadly, the marathon is probably best remembered for those two bombs that were set off during the 2013 race, killing three spectators and injuring just under 100 more. But in 1980, there was a different controversy. The man's race was won by an Olympian by the name of Bill Rogers, a seasoned runner. He'd actually won the Boston Marathon three times. Also, he'd won the New York Marathon on four separate occasions as well. But on the woman's side, the winner that year was a previous unheard runner by the name of Rosie Ruse. She passed the line in an incredible time of 2 hours. Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Now there's the mistake. You didn't, Kathy, put your hand up. Can I just say, we'll have no hands up for my grammatical errors this morning, honestly. Remember, I'm a Scouser. English is my second language. 2 hours, 31 minutes and 56 seconds, something that I can do in my car, making the fastest time of any female who have ever run the Boston Marathon. However, something wasn't quite right. She had all the right running gear on. She looked the business. But she didn't look haggard enough for someone who's just run 26.2 miles. She didn't look sweaty. Her hair was a bit like mine, perfectly styled. Her face was barely flushed. She didn't show the signs of someone who'd just run a grueling race. 8 days after the race, it was discovered that she hadn't run the full course, but in fact, she joined the race just a mile or so before the end of the line. Thus, she was stripped of the title. She was pretending to be something that she wasn't. When it comes to the spiritual life, the Word of God makes it very clear that there will be those, even those within the church, who pretend to be something that they're actually not. Many of these people will look impressive. Oh, they'll have the right gear on. They'll look the part, they'll talk the talk, they'll sound spiritual, they'll look spiritual, they will look authentic. But what is really going on inside is what really matters. Not what they appear on the outside. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, there were many pretenders, many types just like that. Many religious types. And Jesus said this, many will say to me on that day, looking forward to the day of his return, an application in his day, looking at those, but also an application in our day and future days, many will say to me, particularly on that last day, when they stand before me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you who practice lawlessness. I've said it before and I'll say it again on many occasions. I think that's one of the most terrifying things recorded in Matthew's gospel. I never knew you. Go away. You see, Jesus wanted people to realize that there will come a day when the charade will end. There will come a day when the time will be over and we will go into eternity. And so Jesus wanted people to take a serious look at themselves in view of their relationship with him. No one can be right with Jesus if they are living dark and a depraved life. And if they are living a dark and a depraved life, it will eventually be fully exposed and seen. And that is what Jesus says right here. And this is what you and I need to take note of this morning. That a person will radiate the reality of whether or not they are right with God by a reflection of light or of darkness. May the Lord help us to see these things this morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, what a joy it is, what a privilege it is that is ours to worship you and praise you, the true and living God. Father, as we've already alluded to this morning, we do not take this thing for lightly. It is such an awesome privilege. Some of our brothers and sisters down through the centuries and even living right now don't have this opportunity when we do. We thank you also, Father God, that you've left us with your word which is truth, and the Holy Spirit who illumines your truth to us. And so we pray now for each and every one of us, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be attentive to all that you are saying to us. Father, we thank you that you still speak today through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You speak into our hearts. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, you make that which is truth the reality to us. Help us, Father, that the words I would speak and that the meditation of all of our hearts will be pleasing, will be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, Redeemer, and our God. Amen. Brethren, God sees the reality of the eternal, not just the external. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his outward appearance or on his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. This is making reference to Saul. The Lord goes on, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, the times I've heard this passage quoted out of context and used in the reverse way to say it doesn't matter how you look and how you come and approach a holy God in worship. It doesn't matter how we come to church on a Sunday, because God looks at our hearts. Do you know what? That is frightening. Hands up who wants your heart to be exposed before us now. But God sees it all. And nonetheless, he still welcomes us to worship him. Some of us can look good on the outside because we wear our shirt and tie on a Sunday morning and our suit. But it means absolutely nothing if our hearts are not right. But equally, what is true of our hearts will be seen on the outward side as well. It will be seen on the outward experience and expression. What it means is that God knows the truth of our hearts and what is really going on inside, and it will eventually be seen on the outside. God loves people. Amen? But he loves people to be real. He loves people to be honest before him. He loves people who don't play games, especially when it comes to having a right relationship with him. So as we come to this part of the scripture, a scripture that we know so well because we've already read it twice this morning, but it is a familiar passage to us. And I came to it in the beginning of last week. I thought, Lord, what would you have me say here? This is so familiar. It's commonplace in many ways, but I just pray that despite its familiarity, we'll hear all that God is saying to us this morning. So as we come to this particular scripture, we need to remember the context. The context is that many religious people were claiming that they were right with God. At the same time, they were calling the Lord Jesus Christ satanic and demonic. Remember that? We saw that a couple of weeks ago. These people were trying to convince others that they needed more proof of who Christ is. And Jesus said, no, I will show you no more signs other than this, the sign of Jonah. He who was in the belly of the whale for those 3 days, so I will show you that. And he was obviously referring to his death and his resurrection. Now, Jesus warned the people that there were a lot of demonic activity taking place in his day, even in the lives of those around him. And their future would be worse than the present condition if they didn't really have him in their life. Look what it says there in verses 24 through to 26. These verses, which sadly we didn't look at in any depth last time together. But just read them there. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through an arid place seeking rest and it doesn't find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds that the house is swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And then it goes and lives there. So the final condition of that man or woman is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. But Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Jesus teaching there on what happens to a demon when it comes out of an individual. It goes to the arid place. It's not there for judgment yet. But then it goes and it finds its house is clean and swept clean and it gets seven other demons and comes and takes residence in that person's life. However, if the person is in Christ Jesus, who is resident in that life? Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is alluding to. But these individuals didn't want Jesus in their life. They wanted more evidence. They called him demonic and all of the things. Said he's actually having a nervous breakdown on one occasion. Now, in the aftermath of all that Jesus said there, Jesus gives this illustration. An illustration to highlight two realities. The first reality being there that what we are will be seen. Therefore, secondly, we need to examine ourselves to see what we really are. 4 points that Jesus makes in using this illustration that I want us to consider this morning. Firstly is this, that the light is meant to shine so people can see it. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it would be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. You know, most of the lamps in Jesus' day would have been made of clay, something similar to this. I think I've shown you this on one occasion. I picked this up when I was in Israel many years ago. It would have been something very similar to this. A little clay pot, oil would have gone in there. There was a wick there. It would have been lit, and it would have been put on a shelf somewhere up high, so that everybody could see it, so that the light would actually fill or dispel the darkness. They're not like our electric LED bulbs that we have. It would have been a flickering type of lamp. And depending on the size of the room, the lamp gave its flickering light to a relatively small area. Imagine if we lit that little candle. I nearly done it this morning and we switched off the lights, but I knew Ross would open all the window, all the curtains this morning, and sure enough, he has done so. It wouldn't mean it much, really wouldn't. But just imagine how much light that lamp, that little lamp would give in a room this size. But the illustration that Christ uses is one of a person who lights a lamp. A person is there in the right mind, would light a lamp and at night, and then he wouldn't hide it in something under. No person would light a lamp in a living room and then put the lamp in a cupboard or put it in some basket somewhere. It would be futile. It would be pointless. It would be a total waste of fuel. That's not what the purpose of the fuel was. It would be a total waste of purpose as well. The purpose of the lamp was that so that everybody could see. It would also mean that no one could see anything. All would be sitting in dark. And so it would be absolutely foolish to hide the light that is intended to shine. And that is precisely Christ's point here. When we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and we are right with God, it is expected that we will shine forth that reality. Can I just say again, never ever allow anybody to misquote this text and say, oh, you play the piano, you should be in the worship group. Don't hide your light under a bushel. That's not what it means either. It's got nothing to do with not or using our talents for the glory of God. That's another issue altogether. This has to do with our witness. When we have Christ in our lives, when we are in a right relationship with an almighty God, it is expected that we will shine for him. We won't hide the reality. We will shine. Do you know, it would be foolish to hide this, just as it would be foolish to hide a light under a bushel. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We could have used many different scriptures to emphasize that. We know that. But once we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, we are to shine forth Christ-likeness so that we may glorify God. And if we don't, not my words, the scripture, we're fools. It is a foolish thing not to have the light and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and shine it, but not only shine it, but declare it as well. Do you know, it's good to ask why it is that God has saved you. Has he saved you? Why didn't he just rapture us as soon as we got saved? Wouldn't it have been much easier, you know? You know, that continual battle that we still have, the good that I wouldn't do, and don't do the evil that I don't want to do, I so often do. He will do, you know, that constant battle that we have with sin, and actually, if the truth be known, often, that constant battle that we still have with self. Wouldn't it be good if the Lord just took us to be with him the moment that we got saved? But God hasn't done that. He's left us here for a purpose, and that purpose is that we might shine for him. We've been saved in part to radiate the light of God to this world that we live in. And we need to speak up for Jesus and defend our faith as well. We need to be serious about the Word of God. And we need to be reflecting it to others. And folks, can I say this lovingly? But the brother has already mentioned it this morning. We should not be afraid. I know it's happening, and it's dead easy to say that in the relative comfort that we have in this particular country. And you know yourself that many of our brothers and sisters live in that constant threat of persecution. It's coming. The changes in the law in Scotland, just at the moment, which actually has got nothing to do with really about, you know, hate laws against gays or lesbians or even the transgender issue. It's a free speech issue. And people are going to be more and more offended if we say Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the only way. Do you know what? That's going to get us arrested soon. Because it's a free speech issue. And we've got to shine. We cannot hide our light under the bushel. We've got to shine forth the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means we're going to have to use our lips to declare that He is the only way. If we do not shine forth God's grace, we are a waste of God's light and a waste of God's power. And the result is that people will be left in darkness. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, and he found this quote just even last evening. Said this, "If there is a true faith, there must be a declaration of it. If you are a candle and God has let you and let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Folks, let's shine together. Amen. Secondly, light of darkness shines through people through their eye focus. Verse 34, it says there, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are bad, your body also is full of darkness." Please don't be confused and think that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about those of us who wear these things around on the top of our noses. He's not talking about bad eyesight here. Far from it. Because when we track the theme of the eyes through the Bible, we discover that it is often used in context of focusing on the Word of God. If we've got a bad focus on the Word of God, if we've got a good focus on the Word of God, what will actually determine your spiritual health will be your focus with the eyes on the truth of God. The eye focus on the truth of God becomes the clear means of sending light to the entire body of man. The point Jesus Christ is making is that when an eye keeps a single focus on the light of the Word and does not go on a journey, on a voyage away from the light, the entire body will be full of light. On the other hand, if an eye goes on some other voyage into evil, when there's badness in the eye, when our focus is on other things, then the whole body will be full of darkness. You know, a good illustration of this is a camera. A camera will reproduce what the focus of the lens is on. And I'm not going to go into having different lenses and different all those things and cropping and all those sort of. I'm just talking about the focus. Whatever you focus it on, it will reproduce that which, you know, it takes, that which it sees. And so it is with people spiritually. They will produce a picture of their real focus. So if their focus is on righteousness of God and Jesus Christ, the Word and the Word of God, that is exactly what they will reflect. If they're focused on the things of this world, things of religion, their lives will reflect that also. In other words, whatever we feed our eyes on and lens will eventually fill up the picture of our life. That's why Paul was very keen to speak to the church at Ephesus when he said these words to them. He said, "Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but on the contrary, instead expose them." The focus on darkness and the result will be a disaster. It will be darkness for the whole of our body. Paul also wrote, "For you were formerly in darkness, but now that you are the light in this world, walk as children of the light." Walk as children of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have the responsibility personally to honestly ask what it is our focus is on. We have the responsibility to fill our eyes and our minds with the Word of God. And as we do so, we will reflect the righteousness of God. Beloved, this is such an important point for us to grasp. Because if we are not devoted to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the light of his truth, to the light of his word, then we put ourselves on the path of darkness. The path of darkness dominating us. Can I say this lovingly? But I'm convinced that some people who are focused not on the Word of God, but on a denomination, or on their religion, or on their finances, or on their careers, or even their major focus on a daily basis is the fears in which they live with. If that is their focus, then what will be produced will not be holy. And so be careful at what your eye is focused on. If it causes you to stumble, then get rid of it. If it causes you to take your focus off the Word of God, if you can look and evaluate your time of how you use your God-given time, how you redeem the time, and you know there are things which are not godly, not holy, then deal with it. Which leads us straight really onto our next point that the Lord Jesus Christ makes in verse 35 there. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. That verb see to it means to look, to behold, to contemplate, to have a good look at your life. To check yourself out. To see that we are actually taking in light things and not dark things. What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is watch your inside. Look at yourself and see that it is really what is going on then in there. Don't look at what you're projecting. Look at what is in you. You know, Christ is challenging us individually here to conduct an honest self-examination of one's own true spiritual condition. You know, from a physical point of view, our doctors every now and again will encourage us to check ourselves. You ladies have to check yourselves. Us men have to check ourselves physically. How much more so spiritually? Should we stop? I love a communion service because that's one of those occasions, isn't it? Where you stop and maybe you refocus and think about what is important, what is significant. But beloved, we need to be doing this on a more regular basis personally. He's saying this because contextually this was a real problem in his day. Remember in the context he's talking about those who were saying that he was demon-possessed. Demanding more signs, not believing who he was. In fact, the context is he was speaking to these Pharisees. A Pharisee loves the external, loves to look good on the outside, loves to look at others and judge and criticize them. That's why, as we'll see next week with Ben, when the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced these woes upon the Pharisees because of their behavior. But for every God-honoring believer, we should be doing a constant analysis of ourselves to see what is really true of us. Every Christ-like believer will be judging themselves. Why? So that they themselves would not be judged. That's what Christ said. How do we use those hours? Are they used for godly or for worldly purposes? Fourthly and finally, as we close this morning, we will shine forth externally what is really true of us internally. Verse 36. Therefore, on all the basis of all that I've said, the Lord Jesus says, on all that's gone before, therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is dark, it will completely be completely lighted, as when the lamp of a lamp shines on you. We will radiate the truth of God internally, that will extend out externally for others to see. Folks, we will eventually radiate what we really are if our focus is on the truth. If someone focuses on darkness, they will radiate darkness. The matter of who or what is dominating us will be their focus, and it will be seen externally. If we love the Lord as we profess to do, and if we are focused on His word, we will be filled with His light and we will radiate the light of His truth. So lovingly, can I say it again? How are you doing, church? How are we doing individually? We've journeyed through Easter together, and even this morning, as we've met around the Lord's table, we're reminded from the scriptures on the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed. There was a betrayer who sat at the Lord's table, a pretender, someone who looked the business, had the right gear, said the right words on occasions. Nobody else around that table knew that Judas was about to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knew the extent of his heart, but Jesus did. He knew. And God knows us. He knows what is true of us this morning. God knows what we are and who we are. God knows the truth. And wise are those who honestly evaluate the truth in the light of his word. You know, it is possible for a while for people to wear some religious costume, to have the right gear on. It's possible to have an outward look, but inwardly be something other. And so as we close this morning, I just want us to just maybe just spend a few moments together in an extra time of just reflection. I know we've spent some time around the Lord's table, but let us just do that just for one moment before we sing our closing song. Because sometimes I'm conscious that we finish and we rush off, don't we? So let us just spend just a few moments together, just while I read you gently through a psalm and ask the Lord to help you to evaluate where you truly are with him. If you choose to, close your eyes and just listen gently. If you want to follow, please do. If that's something that you prefer to do, you all know where I'm going. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you, O Lord, are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there also. If I rise also on the wings of the dawn, if I settle in the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light became night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the light will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Oh Lord, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame has not been hidden from you. When I was made in the secret places, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, oh Lord, how precious to me are your thoughts, oh God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake, I am with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They who speak of you with evil intent, your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them, even counting them as my enemies. But search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.